to the Worthwhile Podcast, a Christ-centered podcast to provide encouragement, practical guidance, and spiritual perspective to your ministry, leadership, and life. Each week, I'm going to talk about important application issues from personal development, healthy relationships, entrepreneurship, ministry tools, and ultimately, leading a worthwhile life. Because nothing worthwhile is ever easy, but finding a great podcast about it should be. Hi, I'm Pastor John. Thank you for tuning in to the Worthwhile Podcast. We believe that you are worthwhile and that your life matters. And that's what this podcast is all about. We promise to keep this podcast commercial-free and 100% listener-supported. So if you'd like to join our partners, please visit patreon.com/theworthwhilepodcast and join us at any level that feels right to you. You'll get a personal thank you from me, Pastor John, and you'll win some nice gifts and cool swag along the way. Again, visit patreon.com/theworthwhilepodcast. And thanks in advance. So this week, as we are recording this second episode of the Worthwhile Podcast, we are also in the beginning of week 7 of quarantine, shelter in place, here in the San Francisco Bay Area due to the COVID-19 virus. And I gotta admit, I am getting weary of being in this position. Everybody here in the Bay Area just got news this week that our shelter in place that was set to expire here on May 3rd has been extended through the rest of the month. And it's just one of those things that consistently gets pushed back, and we know why, we understand why. Obviously, many people are getting irritated with the consistent delaying of opening up businesses and returning back to something close to normal life, and some have begun to protest. And I get it. I'm not saying that they're right for doing that, but I totally understand because, quite frankly, I think we're all getting stir crazy right now. But wherever you are, at whatever point in time you're listening to this episode, I just want you to know that we're going to make it through this. We're getting through it. The data is improving and our testing is improving. So let's keep good attitudes. Let's not give in to the paranoia, to the claustrophobia in some cases, especially if you've been out of work. Let's focus on some good things. Let's keep our perspectives upward and on good things. Whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is of good reputation, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. And I don't say that as a just shut up and think about the good. What I'm saying is this is how we overcome the evil. We overcome the chaos. We overcome the fear, not by ignoring it, but by focusing on the right things. I was playing catch with my boys in the backyard yesterday, and you know, when they're trying to throw the ball really hard and impress dad, they'll like almost close their eyes or just look straight up or look anywhere other than where they're supposed to be throwing the ball. And the thing that I was trying to encourage them is you hit what you focus on more often than not. Whether it's swinging a hammer at a nail or throwing a ball or just getting through a difficult season in our country, you more often than not hit what you're focusing on all the time. In the movie The Patriot, ironically, Mel Gibson stars in that movie. I think he directed that movie as well. He was talking to his sons in the movie about aiming their shots with like a rifle, and he said, "What I teach you guys about shooting?" And the boys already knew the answer. They said, "Aim small, miss small." So all I'm saying is not ignore the problems. What I'm saying is focus on the good, and eventually good will overcome the bad. So I just wanted to share that with you today as we are getting started with this episode 2, Rules for Success in the Worthwhile Podcast. So in today's episode, we're talking about rules for success. And I've got 12 rules that I'm going to share today. And these are personal rules. These are things that I've come up with. They're not all original to me necessarily. In some cases, they're things that I've blatantly learned. I was going to say stolen. That's not fair. They were shared. That I have taken from other people, some of them other pastors, some of them other godly influences in my life. And some of them not necessarily godly influences. Some of them were honestly from people who were not necessarily even Christ followers, and maybe that's you. So I hope that this is relatable to you. This is obviously an intentionally Christ-centered podcast, but I want this to be something that's useful to anyone who chooses to tune in and listen. I hope that you'll find this useful to you today, no matter what you believe. But these are 12 principles, 12 rules. There's probably a lot more that I have, honestly, than just these 12. But you probably didn't want to listen to a podcast that had 89 rules or principles or rules for success or whatever. So I've narrowed it down to 12. I had to agonize over this, not because I had to come up with 12 things, but because I had to pick 12 things out of probably hundreds of things that I've learned, principles, values that have been instilled in me over the years. And I just want to put this as a disclaimer. When I'm talking about rules for success, what I'm really thinking about in this is worldview, paradigms, things that can be applied to any area of your life. So you're going to notice that I'm not going to talk a ton about marriage. I'm not going to talk a ton about family. I'm not going to talk a ton about any one specific component of your life. Instead, what I'm trying to offer in this episode today are principles that could apply to any of these sections of your life. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the sections, at least how I see them, at least. And so that's kind of where we're going today. And I've tried to order these in a series that made sense. And so I'm going to kind of just dive straight in. And if you're the note-taking type and you're not, you know, driving your car or going on a jog, then I hope you'll write this stuff down. If not, I will make this available on my website. That may be the simplest solution, johnmarkham.org. I will put it under there under 12 Rules for Success, and you can find the list there. So just diving right in, here are kind of the rules that I thought I'd share today that I've come up with in the order that I've come up with it. Number one is be obsessed. Be obsessed. And I say that because one thing that I've learned that separates people who are successful from people who are mediocre in life, in business, in anything, is that successful people are obsessed. People who give 40 hours a week to something are not overly successful at the things they attempt to do. They are moderately successful, perhaps, but they're not making a name for themselves. They're not excelling. They are not setting new trends. They are not setting new bars of standards of success by giving 40 hours a week. I can't remember who it was. Various people have said this in a variety of different ways. I think it was Elon Musk, though, that said that 40 hours a week is a joke. If you want to be successful, you need to put in 90 hours a week or something like that. And he's probably exaggerating. Maybe not. Elon Musk is eccentric. It could be very well, he may very well have meant every word of that. But the point still remains is that if you want to be truly successful, if you want to take something to the next level, if you want to take your business, your family, your ministry to the next level, you have got to be obsessed, and it's going to require something of you. That's the whole point of this podcast. Nothing worthwhile is ever easy, and 40 hours a week is easy. That's what normal people do, and you don't want a normal life. You want a worthwhile life, so you've got to be obsessed. Obsessed about what? Good question. Number two, the second thing that I have as a rule for success in my personal life is think in quadrants. Think in quadrants. So I think I quoted Scott Rideout last week with who happens to be the president of Converge Worldwide. If I didn't, Scott Rideout is the president of Converge Worldwide, and he almost never gives a leadership talk without talking about quadrants. It's actually kind of funny. But in my own personal life and leadership, I've thought of it in terms of four quadrants, and this is kind of the sum total of who I am, and I would argue it's probably the sum total of who you are also. So here are the four quadrants, if you will. Myself, my why, my family, my business. Myself, my why, my family, my business. Now, for me, my why is my ministry, so for me, those two are synonymous. And I'm going to get into that a little bit, but let me just briefly kind of summarize all four of these. These are the four things that compose who you are, the things that are definitive about your personality, anything that you're walking to any table to, you're bringing these four things. And I'll also say this, that these four things are not cut and dry and simply, you know, well-defined in their quadrants. There's a lot of bleed over between one and the other at times. And that's normal because you're one person. Just because you may be able to quantify four separate areas of your life doesn't mean that they're always nice and neat and tidy. Sometimes you take work home. Sometimes you have to deal with family stuff at work. Sometimes your why and your family and yourself, all those things mashed together. For some of you, your ministry and your business are the same thing, and there's some good things about that. There's some pros and cons. But here's just kind of the definition of each of those things. When I say myself, I literally mean myself. I mean my physical well-being, I mean my mental, emotional well-being, I mean my spiritual life. I make it no secret, obviously this is a Christ-centered podcast. I am a Christ follower, I am a Christian pastor, I am a Bible teacher and preacher, and so my spiritual strength is really the core of everything else about me. That falls under the myself thing because it's about my personal relationship with God, and a empty cup doesn't fill up other cups, so I've got to be full in order to be a blessing to others. So that's also true about my physical health, that's true about my mental and emotional health, that is myself. The second, and these aren't necessarily in order, they're quadrants, right? So I'm just kind of going in the order that I've listed them. My why, or my ministry, my personal context, is what do I believe God put me on this planet for? What do I believe I have a purpose in the world that is the thing that I have to offer others? And this, if you were listening to the last episode, this kind of comes back to the, what is the thing that's going to outlive me? What is the thing that, that makes me matter long after I'm gone? And for me, I hope it's that I have preached the gospel and I have made an impact in other people's lives spiritually, and I have helped develop leaders who will go and do the same. And so that is my why. And when I talk about being obsessed, I really mean, you know, what is the why that you'll die for? And that is my why. That is what I would literally take a bullet for. The third thing, my family. I don't live in a vacuum. I'm not isolated. I have connections. I have people I'm responsible to. Obviously, in my case, I have a literal family. I have a wife. I have kids. And that is a major component of who I am. And again, all these things bleed together. There's not a list of priorities. They're not third on my list here, per se. I wouldn't suggest that at all, in fact. But my family is a key component of that that I have to see to, that I have to take care of, make sure that I'm raising my kids well, that my values are being transferred to them, that I'm spending time making sure they know that they're more important to me than the why, that my legacy will always be first and foremost in my wife and kids than the thing that I do, that relationship trumps, you know, vocation. And then my business, I really look at my business, my entrepreneurship, as the engine that drives the why. This is the thing that gives me the capacity to do what I feel like I'm put on this earth to do. I run a restaurant, my wife and I own a couple businesses, but I say all that just to say that we do this because it drives our purpose. I run a restaurant. People are going to eat at my restaurant today and are going to be hungry again tomorrow. Some of them are going to eat there today and be hungry again today. So what I'm trying to say is that the number of people that I serve food to doesn't make a difference for eternity per se, but it drives the thing that I am called to. It drives my why. And I have no shame in running a restaurant. I love what I do, by the way. I have a lot of passion for it. So those are the four quadrants: myself, my why, my family, my business. What are your four? What does your self look like? What are the areas that you need to spend more time focusing on? Maybe you need to develop a spiritual life. Maybe you need to find something bigger than yourself that is your foundation. Maybe you need to define your why. Simon Sinek has a lot of great talks. And he actually has a book on it. I strongly suggest that you read that. Again, he's not particularly a Christian, I don't believe, but there's so many great principles for that. Number three, I've already kind of mentioned, is die for the why. If your why is not something that you would die for, then it's not a good why. And I really mean that. For me, my why is something, like I said earlier, that I would literally take a bullet for if I had to. Now, I don't have a death wish, I'm not suicidal about it, but it is something that I would literally give my life to. In fact, that's kind of how I look at it. I have given my life to this thing, to this cause, towards this mission. And what is the thing that you're willing to die for? What is the thing that that you hope they write in your tombstone, that they talk about in your eulogy? What is the thing that is going to be described of you? And it sounds so dramatic, but again, number one was be obsessed. Only obsessed people talk like this. Only obsessed people have a death wish. And I don't have a death wish in the sense that I want to die, but I do in the sense that we are going to die. We are all going to die eventually. Welcome to the Worthwhile Podcast. And I say all of that just to say, what do you want to be said of you when that day does eventually come, hopefully a long time from now? What do you hope they remember about you? One of the best practices that I had someone speaking to me a long time ago now was write your own eulogy. Write your own eulogy. Write down what you want people to remember about you and begin working on building a life that makes that eulogy true. I thought that was some pretty good advice. Number four, when we work, we work. When we rest, God works. When we work, we work. When we rest, God works. Now, again, I've intentionally tried to structure this podcast in a way where I'm being honest about who I am and what I do, but not trying to make it in such a way where if you're not a Christian that you don't get it. So I'm going to share a Christian principle here that I hope I can make sense to you even if you're not a Christian. In the Bible, it talks about the Sabbath. Sabbath day or Sabbath thing. And the whole point behind it was that the Bible teaches that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he stopped working. And from that time forward, he made a rule, if you will, a law to honor the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And the whole point behind it was this: you're not God. God did all of his work in 6 days and then he stopped. Don't try to outwork God. And as humans, as Americans for sure, we have a bad habit of trying to outwork God. We think, I've got to get it done, I've got to do more, I've got to, and I know this is counterintuitive to the first thing I said about being obsessed, and you can't work 40 hours a week, you have to work 80 hours a week, 90 hours a week, according to Elon Musk at least. And again, I think he's exaggerating how much time you should put into something. But the point of the matter is that you and I are finite. we are breakable and we have limitations. And not only do we have limitations, but I think that the more we try to put, there is a limit to the amount of energy and time and effort and stress that we put into something and become successful. In fact, in many places, I don't have any statistics, I apologize, but there's a few countries and a few companies in America, in fact, that have gone from a 40-hour work week to a 30-hour work week. And of course, right now, everybody's gone to a reduced work week in some capacity because of the shelter in place. But the point of me bringing this up is that the companies and the countries that have begun to try this model have found that their companies and their staff are often just as productive with 30 hours a week working at their jobs as they were with 40 hours a week. Meaning that if you can do more with less, then you're better off. Rest is a critical part of success. Yeah, you gotta be obsessed. Yeah, you gotta put your guts into something. Yeah, you can't just put in your obligatory 30, 40 hours a week and call it good and expect to have phenomenal success at something. You have to be obsessive about it. You have to put a lot of energy and effort into it, but you have to take care of yourself, that first quadrant we talked about. You have to rest. When we work, we work. We get a lot done. But when we rest, God works. And that's something I try to remind myself of. I don't want to just be successful because of my own efforts. I want to be successful because God blessed me, because God put his favor on me. And I've just found, through a lot of stupid effort and a lot of stupid experiences on my part, that if I just work my guts out, then I don't leave room for God to work. And so really, resting is an exercise of faith when you think about it. It's an exercise of saying, I can't do it all. And if I just take the time to rest, I'm really demonstrating, God, I'm counting on you to show up and do what I can't do, because I'm limited, but you are not. And I'm taking rest, but you never rest. You never stop working. You never stop working. I love the song Waymaker. It's a Christian worship song, and it is just phenomenal. The bridge of that says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. God is a faithful God. And so that's number four. When we work, but when we rest, God works. Number five, money is a tool. Money is a tool. Now the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all forms of evil. And that's a verse that often gets misquoted. A lot of people just quote it as money is the root of all forms of evil, or money is the root of all evil. That's wrong. Money is not the root of all evil, but the love of money does become a root to every form of evil that there is. And so what I'm saying by this is that money is a tool. I don't know a single builder, contractor, engineer, mechanic who loves, well, they love their tools, but who loves a single tool in a way that is disproportionate to the thing that they do with the tool. Does that make sense? What I'm trying to say is this: we can become so obsessed with getting money that we miss the point of what we're trying to do. The point should be our why. What is the thing that we would die for? What is the thing that we want our life to be known for? What is the thing that we want our eulogy to be written about? And if it's just money, then you got a really bad why. You need a bigger why. Your why is small. Your why is ridiculously small. You need a better, bigger why. And the love of money is the root of all forms of evil. So money is a tool. Don't fall in love with your tools. Fall in love with the thing that you're pursuing with all the tools that you have. And money is just one of those tools. So money's a tool. Use it well. Don't fall in love with the tool. The tool's stupid. Replace the tool. Some tools can't fix every problem. A hammer can only drive a nail and pull a nail, I guess. But it doesn't work really good if you have screws. And it doesn't work really good if you need to cut a piece of lumber. I mean, I guess eventually you could get the job done, but you'd be really exhausted, and it'd be really inefficient, and be really messy, and it'd look really bad. So don't use the same tool for every job. Money doesn't fix everything. If that's the only tool in your belt, then you need a bigger tool belt. You need a bigger toolkit, toolbox. You need to expand your options. But money is a tool. Treat it as such. Use it as such. Don't fall in love with a tool. Number six, run with those who will run with you. Man, this one's been so critical, so important in my life, because I found that not everybody wants to run with me, and not everybody can run with me. And you can waste a lot of your life, you can waste a lot of your why, trying to convince people to run with you who'll never run with you. And that doesn't mean, you know, screw the people who, you know, aren't on your side. I'm not trying to have you, you know, flip the bird at people and move on. But what I am trying to say is that you have to make some decisions at some point in time about who you're going to allow to drag down your why. And again, if your why is something you're willing to die for, and I think that it should be whatever your why is, then you have to make some critical decisions. You have to surround yourself with the people who are going to run with you and help you advance that cause, advance that calling, not with people. And that doesn't mean the people who don't run with you are the enemy necessarily. That's a way of thinking that's a trap as well. I believe that God brings people into our life for certain seasons. I believe that some of those people are there for a season or a chapter or a page or even a line on a page. I think that some people are there for several chapters and some for the entire book, for the entire story. But some people are not supposed to be there for very long, and that's okay. That doesn't mean they're enemies. That doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means that they weren't supposed to run with you the whole marathon. So run with those who will run with you. And realize that you're probably going to run with some people for a season of their life too. And that's okay. Be there for them during that season as well. Number 7, have a plan, track a plan, adapt a plan. Have a plan, track a plan, adapt a plan. I don't understand how people wander through life as adults and don't have a single idea what they hope to accomplish in a year or 5 or 10 or 20. Like, I don't get it. Like, how do you do it? You just have no plans, no ambitions whatsoever. And if that's you, then maybe this isn't the podcast for you, just to be honest, because this podcast is an expression of my heart, and I am full of vision. I'm not saying I get everything right. I get a lot of things wrong, which I'm getting to, actually. But what I'm trying to say is that you have got to have a plan. You've got to track that plan, and when necessary, adapt the plan. Have a plan, track the plan, adapt the plan. Number 8, playing it safe isn't. You've got to be a risk taker. You've got to be willing to do things that other people aren't ready or willing or thinking about doing. You have to take risks if you're going to be successful. Number 9 is run towards conflict. This is one that I've used in my personal relationships for a very, very long time. We do not have a long list of things that we have problems with people about. It's exhausting to keep a list. It's unhealthy to keep a list. So we have an attitude of we run towards conflict. When we have a problem with somebody, we don't sit on it, we don't stew on it, we don't gossip about it. We go to that person, we address it, we deal with it. It's awkward, it's uncomfortable, but it is so liberating to not have to keep track of what's wrong with who, to just deal with problems when they arise. Now, some stuff you need to just get over. There's a difference between getting over something and ignoring a problem. If there's a problem, you need to address it, run towards the conflict. But if you don't need it to be a problem, then get over yourself. And sometimes I have to get over myself. Sometimes I have to look at things and say, this is only a problem because I'm allowing it to be a problem. I just need to suck it up and get over it. And thankfully, the people who love me do the same thing for me, because otherwise they'd have a long list of problems and have to constantly have awkward conversations with me too. And sometimes they do have awkward conversations with me because I do stupid things sometimes. But we run towards conflict. We don't allow problems to build up. We address them when we recognize them, and we deal with them sooner rather than later. Number 10, celebrate your wins. We don't celebrate enough. We have got to take the time to re-energize, to recharge our souls by recognizing, hey, we did a good thing. Even if it didn't turn out 100% the way we dreamed of, the fact that you accomplished anything is worth celebrating. And you're worthwhile, so celebrate your wins. Celebrate the things that go well. Even if it's just you had a great day at work, even if it's just you got a new job, that's fantastic. Celebrate your wins. Number 11, you can't lead people somewhere you're not going. This is a basic leadership principle that I've espoused for 10 or 15 years now. And I don't remember when I started saying this, but I just know that this has been foundational to my form of leadership. I will not ask people to do something that I'm not willing to do and that I haven't done. And in most cases, that I'm actively doing with them when I'm asking them to do it. It's come with me, not go do that. And there's a difference. Boss is boss, but leaders lead. And you can be a boss for a while, but that doesn't make you a leader just because you have authority and a title. Leaders lead because they have influence, and you win influence with credibility, and you win credibility by example. So you can't lead people somewhere you're not going. And then 12, this is my 12th and final one for this episode. Failure is the foundation of success. Oh man, I hate admitting it, but I can't overstate this enough. In fact, I've got an episode that I'm planning on talking about this in much more detail in the near future, not next week, but in a few weeks, that failure has been more of a friend than success to me. And I say that not to moan and complain. I'm not griping, actually. I'm simply aware of the fact that I've made a lot of mistakes. And not even mistakes like I did something wrong, but mistakes in the sense of things didn't work out like I wanted them to, like I planned they would, like I dreamed they would, like I worked for them to. In fact, there have been a few things that have gone better than I thought they would go, but there have been far more things that didn't turn out like I thought they would at all, or like I hoped that they would at all. But those things are the things that pave the foundation for me to be successful later on in life, and I wouldn't trade them for anything. Failure is a formula for success if you know how to leverage it. Failure is the foundation of success. And I don't know anyone who is successful, who we look up to and aspire to emulate our lives after, who didn't have some failures and some setbacks in their lives. And it's like, well, what about Jesus? Oh, great, smart Alec, I appreciate that. Well, let's talk about that for a second, because from a human perspective, it certainly looks like he failed in some ways. Now, obviously, biblically, we know that he didn't, and even the things that looked like a failure from a human perspective were a setup for his success. But that's exactly my point, is that even when he's dying on a cross, the teacher, the master, the great healer that he claimed and showed himself to be, the Messiah that we all thought he was as he lived his life through the Gospels, is now hanging on a cross, breathing his last and dying. But even his death was a setup for success. And I believe that God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And so I just say that to say that even the failures in your life, God will turn into a foundation for success if you let him. And even the one that we as Christians say that we follow, from a human perspective, his life looked like a failure as he hung on a cross and died. And yet that perceived failure was just another setup for success. And the same can be true of your life as well, if you let it. These are 12 rules for success. There's probably a whole lot more that you can think about, and probably a lot more than I can offer, but these are some good starters. At the end of every episode of this podcast, I'm going to offer a prayer for you. If you're not particularly religious, that's okay. Take this prayer as good vibes if you'd like. But this is an important part of everything worthwhile in my life, and I want to offer that strength as a source of strength for you as well. This is a part of the myself quadrant in the rules that we just discussed earlier today. So please, if you will, allow me to pray for you as we close this episode. God, I pray you'd help each person who's listening to this, that you'd help all of us, myself included, to be people of principle. Help us to be driven by things that matter long after we're gone. And God, I pray you just give us focus and clarity and energy for the things that you put each of us into this world for. I ask you, God, that we not be discouraged when life gets difficult, but may we remember that a just man's steps are ordered by the Lord and that you delight in their ways. And though they fall, they shall not be utterly cast down, because you uphold them with your hand. Thank you, Jesus, for modeling a worthwhile life for us. Help us to be more like you in everything we do. In your name we pray. Amen. The Worthwhile Podcast is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/theworthwhilepodcast to make your monthly pledge. My name is John Markham. Thanks for listening.